Hello, everyone. It's Rachel Roberts.
And I'm Megan Segura.
And you're listening to The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
As always, we're coming to you from Bravo's offices in Rockefeller Center. The heart of New York.
The heart of New York City.
My night was a little uneventful. What about yours?
You mean Valentine's?
No.
Oh, last night?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I packed.
Grace, what did you do? Because I hear there's a subgroup in our office, and it is the young people group.
Oh, yeah. I rode the elevator, but young people, and then Eric J. Mack, who's older than me.
Right. So, care to elaborate? Grace, who's not that young? Rosen?
I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, we're just not cool.
How old are you?
I'm 25.
So when are you aging out of the group? I thought it was 25 and under.
25 and under.
All right, so I haven't. You're going to get kicked down. But
plus
Eric J. Mack.
Right, Eric, who is ageless, apparently.
What do you guys talk about young people things?
We try.
Snapchat. I don't even know. It's probably like a Zoodle thing or something. I don't even know what's happening.
Zoodle.
It's the new thing. Yeah.
We did talk a lot about Snapchat, only because I, being too old for the group, like had left my location on. So
that's how we knew.
Lauren Campbell, who's another 25 and under in the office, has been just like following me on Snap Map. Anyway, everybody, if you're old like me, turn off your location services in Snapchat.
We were all talking about it on our side of the office.
Oh, my.
And decided maybe we should start an old group.
Yep, 30 over. You're not invited, and neither is Eric J.
It will include a sensible time for dinner at 6 p.m. A bottle of wine if we're feeling crazy.
Home by 10.
Reader's Digest will be there. AARP magazine will read over.
So, in conclusion, fuck you, Grace.
I'm so sorry. We did have a nice laugh.
Did you hear the not sorry tone? Like, who are you?
Dorit?
I know. I need to learn from Stassi how to make a true apology.
You should have walked into this office, burst into tears. With a scooter.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
You're right.
We are.
So, obviously, we're going to talk about Vanderpump Rules because this was, for me, an amazing episode.
Yes.
Also, we have to start with Atlanta, but in the middle, maybe we'll throw in Beverly Hills. Or is that all out of order? I don't know.
I like it. I mean, okay. It's a fun journey you have to go on, but I'm down.
We also talked to Teddy Mellencamp.
We did. Who is, I feel like we say this about everyone, but like what you see is truly what you get. She's like the sweetest, nicest, down to earth. She called herself Big Head when we took a photo together.
Yeah. And her hot hubby was in the room.
Yeah, he's really cute, you guys.
And she showed me her extensions.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Like, is there anything more real?
No.
Love her.
All right, Real Housewives of Atlanta. Finally, we are in Barcelona. We start things with that bus ride to the villa, which is in that time period we get Nini basically saying anything and everything that has to do with Kim's ailments are not real.
Oh my God, the list? Which it's a comprehensive list.
Yeah, stroke, thyroid, cancer.
Kim is the only person I know that has had cancer, thyroids, blood clots, open heart surgery, a stroke, and is still walking around here being negative. If you've had that much, you should be so positive and thankful that God has let you live through every disease in America.
But are we counting cancer? Because remember, she was like, actually, no, I didn't have it.
I agree. I think that it's like that is season one,
right?
Reunion.
We're going way back.
Wow, Nini.
Yeah.
Like, way to pull out all the stops.
But I get it. I think maybe she means someone who's used these things as an excuse.
Right. I just personally don't think you fake a stroke. That's just my read on the situation.
I don't think Dancing with the Stars would allow you to fake a stroke.
Right.
If I'm being truly honest.
But would they allow you to fake a faint?
Oh, God. Don't you dare slander Lisa Vanderpump's name like that.
My favorite part of the bus ride was them saying, first of all, I don't understand what a 50 Cent challenge is.
It's her bucket list,
but it's just her. She calls herself 50 Cent.
Okay.
It's confusing for Megan because she thought 50 Cent had a bucket list. And
I
it was like something you can go
I
online and like
no,
print out.
Like, So, yeah, one of the things on it is, like, impersonate one of the ladies, and everyone was like, I call Candy, which then NeNe went into her impersonation of Candy, which was really good, I thought.
Can you do Candy now, just to give us an example of what we can look forward to?
Yeah, I don't know what y'all talking about and what we getting ready to go, what we getting ready to do.
But eventually we get to the rooms in their villa, Airbnb, I don't know. It was like a three-story house.
I mean, it's cute. It's cute. It's cute.
I don't get it. Why are we here? When I'm on vacation, I want to live it up. I don't want to be on budget hotels.
This place would have been cute if I was 20.
I didn't think it was that bad. No. But the way they talked about it.
It's a villa. Like, right. How bad could it be? You know where I've stayed, you guys? I didn't even have a bed in Amsterdam because we checked into a hostel way too late, and I had to just cram in with my friends in a tiny little hostel twin bed that we shared with other people.
Yeah.
So take that, Atlanta housewives.
I mean, of course it's not like a $60,000 a night Abu Dhabi situation, right, like we saw with the Beverly Hills housewives. But still, it didn't look...
Chabs.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't get it.
But I like that we finally see sort of a room argument for them.
Right,
because
usually...
We always see it in New York.
I think it's very selfish.
Yeah, but those are two different people. Standards.
Why can't we both stay in the room?
Ramona, we took a lottery.
Oh, there is a nice
Dorinda doesn't want to be in
the
house
over there.
I want
two great bedrooms.
I didn't come here. I live in the attic.
So NeNe says the mature ladies...
Stay upstairs.
Stay upstairs.
Candy was like, no.
Right. And what does that mean? Like, just like NeNe and Marlo?
But to you, what does
mature mean?
Yeah.
I think she's trying to say old. Like,
yes.
That would be our group. That Grace can't
yes,
be
we
in.
Yes, we would be the mature,
mature
group.
Ladies
and
group. And you're the...
What am I?
Hoodlums.
Not that youngins?
Sluts.
Oh. Thoughts.
Young sluts. I'll take young sluts.
But then later, when Candy addresses, well, you said the older ladies are going upstairs. She was like, old. And NeNe gets so upset.
Well, don't do the elders thing.
Okay. Wait.
Like, I'm 0 to 100. Like, don't do that.
You 0 to 100. About.
Like, that means do not do that. Okay?
Y'all did that earlier. Y'all no, both talked about elders. And,
no, we did not talk about elders. I never used those kind of words.
I got it confused. It was mature.
That is what you're saying, NeNe. You're
what
literally
else
saying
does
my
mature
age.
Mean?
Right. Like,
I don't know. It kind of bothers me how much NeNe is bothered by people bringing up her age. She's also 50. I Googled it. What's the big deal?
Right. And I feel like Cynthia has embraced it
totally.
So much. And I feel like NeNe looks the best she's ever looked.
Yeah.
Like, she looks amazing. So it's like, wear it loud and proud. Like that bun that Marlo fixes.
Right. Once we're settled finally in the rooms, Sheree, the bone carrier, decides to call Kim.
Of course I'm going to talk to Kim and tell her what everybody's saying. A bone carrier is never off her job.
But my favorite part... was Portia's like, oh, no, I won't say it. And Kim's like, what? Say it. And she goes, no, I feel bad. I didn't know you were a cancer survivor.
I didn't know that you are a cancer survivor. And I was going to say that that's wonderful and such a blessing because my cancer runs in my family.
Wait, what did you say?
That you're a cancer survivor.
And I'm like, Portia... We see you.
Right.
You're not really like
you may think that the Underground Railroad was an actual railroad, but you know what you're doing here.
Right.
Yeah.
And then that turns into, here's exactly what NeNe said on the bus.
This is, I think, reminiscent of what's happening on Beverly Hills. And I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. But oftentimes when you play telephone, the message sounds so much worse than it was.
Right.
Because NeNe, yes, was throwing like a major amount of shade. And it was like a lot. But it still was it was funny, you know?
Yeah, it wasn't as bam, bam,
bam. Yeah.
Now what was bam, bam was then we go to dinner and Kim starts sending all these texts to everyone.
Right.
It's like...
I mean, like, how crazy is that she just, like, mass sends a text? It was very, like, I don't know if anyone else watches Sherlock. But when he texts, like, everybody in the press, anyway, no.
Sure.
She stands alone. Anyway, it was very Sherlockian.
I'm surprised you don't watch it, Grace.
Yeah, I was like looking at Grace to be like, you get it.
I did when it first came out, but I just hate Benedict Cumberbatch so much that I can't get on board.
We can talk about that later because you're wrong. I'm a Cumber bitch.
Is that really what they call him? That's so funny. But in these texts that Kim is sending are the videos of Brielle and the cockroaches.
Or water bugs. As or Nina water bugs.
Say. Kim going in on your ass.
Are you for real?
What? She just sent this text to all of us.
So this is what she said. Nene is sick and disgusting, and I'm not just speaking on the fact that she made fun of a serious health issue I had, but I'm also speaking on the fact she lives in a f***ing roach nest.
Isn't a water bug like a roly-poly? What's a water bug?
No, a water bug is like a cockroach. To me, they've always meant the same thing, but I think there is a slight difference.
Okay.
Right? Molly's nodding.
Sure.
And I'm going to go with what Cynthia says. She's like, now we're like taking videos of people's homes and waiting for it and saving it in your phone to then just use it on mad day, she says. Like, what level are we on
now? It's very Vanderpump Rules to like have a secret about someone and be like, I'll just wait for the right moment.
Yeah.
Kim and Brielle are like taping videos of people's homes and saving them for mad day. This bullshit has just gone too far now.
But at least now I kind of understand why Kim did it. Not saying it was right to, but I understand now the motivation for her to be like, oh, here, everyone.
And I loved it wasn't just the cockroach video. It was like, well, I expect this from someone who uses handicapped spaces. And it was like this litany of things, too, that she said in the text message. It wasn't just that she like sent this video out.
But I did think it was kind of in poor taste for Nene to then sort of turn it on the other ladies, because then she is like, my home's better than anyone's home here. I'm the only one with a pool. It's just like, relax. Like, they didn't do it.
And I also love how that's like the status symbol. I have a pool.
As far as my house is concerned, can't none of y'all bitches step in my crib and say, can't none of y'all step in my house and say a motherfucking thing, bitch. All my shit is brand new. My house is beat, bitch.
You come to your home and
record a water bug from my pool, bitch. Y'all bitches ain't even got pools.
Well, I got a community pool in my.
Cynthia has a whole lake.
I know. but since I have so many roses and thorns, I do want to give a rose and thorn for just this episode. Okay. If I could.
Yeah, oh, you may. You make the rules.
My rose is that Sheree's drink of choice was a vodka and Fanta.
So if you would kindly make us some cocktails. I'm a big vodka girl.
Okay. So Sheree, what do you want?
I'll do the vodka and the Fanta thing.
Vodka and Fanta?
So would you like to?
Which maybe we should try for our next cuisine.
That's it. It's vodka and Fanta.
Next time.
Oh, my God.
Vodka,
great
Fanta.
Suggestion.
And my thorn was that wig that we saw in the Next On last week. And we were like, whose wig ends up at the table? Such a letdown, because it was just Marlo being like, oh, it's Kim.
Right.
Kim's at the dinner. I was like, damn it.
I see what you did there, but I thought maybe someone like ripped off their wig dramatically.
Yes.
Or like, yeah, I know.
Oh my God.
Hi, why do you have your wig, Marlo?
No, this is Kim. She wanted to come on and she decided to join us. Hi, Kenya. And one's going to sit at one end of the table.
Oh my God.
So they can get along.
I'm going to need a lot of drinks, Marlo. That's all I got to say.
But still, every time they would be like coming up and they would like show the shot of the wig, it would make me laugh.
Totally.
We haven't had a good hair pull in a while.
Oh, a shift, you mean?
I mean, it's like it's either you get the wig shift or you're just ripping out a chunk of someone's hair.
Ooh.
I don't know which is better.
Well, is extension connected to hair?
Mm-hmm.
You also talked to Cynthia, who was there.
Yeah, I couldn't resist asking her about that crazy night in Barcelona, and she gave a lot of sneak peeks about what's to come. In this trip,
I feel like for any other group of people, the crazy night in Barcelona would have been like, we were out till 6 a.m. and dancing at the club. But not in Atlanta.
Nope. Everyone, we're here with Cynthia Bailey. This interview could not come sooner because right now we're in Barcelona.
We are in Barcelona.
And my God, the drama has already begun.
When I tell you, as soon as I stepped off the plane, the wheel thing came up.
Like, yes.
And I will say, well, you just asked me the question.
No, I want to hear. What will you say?
I'll just ask and answer the questions
myself. Yeah,
Well, for me, you know, after flying, you know, it's not, you know, a two-hour flight, so everyone's tired. You know, we were just coming off Candy's Essence party, and that was a Will moment there, which I didn't see coming. It was also a semi-Peter moment because I didn't know he was going to be there, and it was the first time I was ever in the room with him with another guy. You know, Portia and I have our own history with, like, her bashing Peter, so it wasn't like, you know, I was really going to Portia to talk about guys or anything. I just kind of, like, never dealt with her with any of that stuff, and we never really resolved it. But anyway, she had always said to me, well, she had, you know, told me that, you know, she had a friend and knew Will, and he's a great guy, and, you know, I'm thinking I'm so lucky how fortunate I was to meet this guy. Even Portia likes him, who obviously she didn't like Peter,
right.
Clearly. So with that said, you know, my friends were giving me support in the beginning, and I was getting support from some of the ladies that I'm not that friendly with. So I thought I was, like, doing good.
Yeah.
So when, you know, that night when she was like, oh, I actually have something to tell you as well. I'm like, do you want to know? I was like, yeah. I mean, at this point, like, the world has ended here at the party for me. So yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and tell me. And I just wasn't really thinking about it at that time. Now, by the time we get to Barcelona, I've processed a little bit, and I'm not even thinking we're going to revisit the conversation. The bigger conversation was between Eva and I.
Right.
So when she apologized, which I was very receptive to, and I was happy that she did that. So anyway, so then, you know, I'm talking to Eva, then Portia chimes in, and I'm like, respectfully? I don't know if I maybe used the word respectfully, but I just didn't want to be interrupted at that time.
Right.
I wanted to, let me just deal with Eva, and let's get our little situation straightened out. And then I was going to circle back to Portia. So I kind of ended up cutting her off, like, super abruptly. And I know that, you know, I did say I wanted to know, but that was that night, and she told me. And, you know, it was a whole other situation in Barcelona. So at the end of the day, Portia and I eventually kissed and made up.
On that first night, the dinner.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it was like, yeah, the Portia thing happened, and then the dinner.
Oh, well, that, like got way.
Kept coming.
Oh, like, the whole, by the time we got to Kim sending the videos.
Yes. Okay, did you know that video existed before it was texted to the group?
God, I can't remember. I had never seen it. I feel like there was talk about it, or I don't even know. I can't remember if I knew that it existed. I don't think I had ever seen it before, because I think it was after the reveal in Barcelona that it was on Instagram or something. Like, at some point it was on social media. I just get the timeline confused. You know, I had my own problems in Barcelona chat. I was like, okay, am I out of the hot seat right now? am I passing the torch to Nini right now? Like, what is going on? So I can't remember, but either way, I just remember being very appalled in Barcelona,
right,
about it, because I just couldn't believe. And then just even, you know, Kim's message was even more appalling in the video. I mean, she was like going in, and then she's taking a picture of Nini's car, which, so you didn't see Nini, but you certainly saw a car and took the time to circle back and take a picture of it in a handicap spot. Like, it was just a lot.
Right.
Like, unbelievable, really. I was like, who does all this? Like, who comes in someone's home and does videos, and who has time to jump out of their car, take a picture of somebody else's car? Like, that's just a lot for me. But yeah, I thought Nini's prayer was very heartfelt, entertaining to say the least. And she was genuinely upset about that situation, like, on camera and off camera. I think she was super hurt. She works really hard. She has a beautiful house, and the last thing you want is, you know, things that you have worked up for, things that you've worked for. I mean, no one's given her anything.
Right.
You know, she didn't marry into a situation. She didn't have the help of a big papa, somebody around to just be like, oh, you want me to help you with anything you want? You can go have anything you want. Like, she's worked for everything that she has, and so have I. So I really, you know, that really hurt me to, like, see somebody just try to tear down, like, your situation. You're like, and what if I do have a water bug in here? Obviously, if I'm in how many ever millions it costs, 1 million, 2 million, 3 million, I don't even really know. I think she can afford a exterminator if she wants one.
Right.
And I live on a lake. I'm like, well, child, please don't come to my house. You might see a snake or anything slithering around in my house. Like, you just never know. But my point is, you know, I just thought it was uncalled for.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that, you know, the dialogue between Kim and Nini, you know, hasn't been below the belt on both parts. I'm not saying that Nini is an angel.
I'm just saying that I feel like when you come into someone's home, you have no business taking pictures and videotaping anything to try to hurt them.
Right.
Just my opinion. And, you know, she doesn't know the situation with the handicap thing. You know, Greg was not that, you know, was recently in the hospital.
Yeah.
And, you know, all of that can be justified. It's just a matter of, like, let me just try to make you look bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, you know, for me, I struggle with being in this group sometimes because, you know, yeah, we can argue, we can disagree. Yeah, I didn't want to talk about the wheel thing with Porsche as soon as we landed in Barcelona, but I'm not going to videotape a roach in her house, and I'm not going to, like, you know, try to find things to say about her outside of, you know, whatever our little issue is.
Fans always look forward to these vacation episodes. Mm-hmm. What makes the vacations so ripe for drama?
Well, we're stuck together.
Right.
For like 4 or 5 days. And, you know, you can't leave. Well, I mean, you can if you just walk out, I guess. However, for the most part, you know, we're stuck with each other. We're traveling with each other. So somebody out of 6 or 7 women is going to say something to piss somebody off. It's just going to happen. No matter how much fun we have, no matter how much we drink, somebody's going to piss somebody off in 4 or 5 days. And then that just turns into like a moment. And, but I will say for Barcelona, I mean, I personally feel like last season was so dark and just scary and weird and people just talking about, I mean, just lying on people. It just went to an all-time low, in my opinion. So the one thing I will say about Barcelona is, you know, we had our little bumps in the road, and the thing with Kim got a little crazy, but at least Kim wasn't there. So, because it would have been crazier had she been there, because I think that situation could have escalated, like, a lot more. But I felt like Barcelona was fun for the most part. We had fun. Like, even my little thing, Portia, I bumped his, and then we just kind of moved on for the rest of the trip, so...
Aside from Barcelona, what has been the hands-down craziest trip you've been on with these ladies?
Let me see. Hands-down craziest trip. God, I've been on a lot of trips. It's been eight years.
Anguilla, season 5.
Okay.
We had Mexico, season 6. Puerto Rico, season 7. Philippines, season 7. Miami, season 8. That was with Tammy.
Ooh, Miami got crazy. Remember the whole thing with the fight? That was crazy. Like that was like the pair, like the ambulance was called. It was like that was crazy, and it wasn't funny, and it wasn't even like it was dramatic, but in a bad way to me because we didn't know if she was okay. She fell. Like it just that was hard to watch because I was like, wow. So this, you know, you just don't realize like how quickly when you're hanging out and partying and like with a bunch of women. Just having fun, you know, how quickly things can go to the left. I didn't like that. I wanted to make, you know, I like Tammy. I didn't want anyone to, you know, I wouldn't have wanted that to happen to any of the ladies.
Yeah.
So I would say Miami.
Thank you so much for joining
us. You're welcome. Anytime. I should come here all the time.
I know. And stay longer.
I know. Maybe you guys can have me. Maybe this could be my little side of the desk.
Okay.
I could just come here and have lunch with you guys.
Well, Rachel and I came into the studio today with the exact same note of Vanderpump Rules, which is, this is the best Stassi apology we've ever seen.
Right. I wrote down, this is the most I've ever liked Stassi.
Yes. Because usually Stassi's apology is not so great.
It's more housewifian.
I have to apologize to Kristen for the act of my hand coming in contact with her face.
But I think she taught us all a new strategy, is if you've really messed up, just start crying.
I'm sorry, I can't, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, I'm really sorry.
Like, hey everyone, why did I? It was like the best like transition from like, everything's fine to like, actually no, I'm an emotional wreck.
Yeah.
I was like, she was like, I feel like I was gonna throw up for 2 days and I thought I would get skinny, but I just binge ate instead.
I've been feeling like I was gonna throw up for 2 days. I felt like I thought that maybe it would make me not eat and I'd get skinny, but no, it made me binge eat. I'm so sorry. I there's nothing I can say.
It's like, oh my God. Because immediately, no one's going to then try to top that. They're just going to be like, it's fine. You know?
Right. Like, right. And I think that had she not come in totally, like, all cards on the table, there would have been that weird, like, awkwardness between all of them. But they were just like, you know, it was Thank you for apologizing. Let's move on.
Yeah. Sit down. Let's bedazzle a scooter.
Yeah. As you do.
As you do.
Although I will say they looked really cool riding around.
I looked up the price and sent it to Aaron. I was like, wouldn't this be great on the weekends when we're running errands? He was like, we would save so much time.
Oh my God. If you have a bedazzling party, I'll get one too.
Okay.
And we can do that together. But I think that we need to go to Big Bear.
Right. How did Jax become the bougiest of this group?
He's mature.
Sorry, my phone keeps buzzing in my bag and it's driving me insane. Jax.
Whoa, what is all that?
He goes, hey, so I heard beside yours and Rob's room, there's only one queen bed. I'm assuming that's for Tom and Ariana. Brittany and I are not sleeping in a twin bed. I am 38 years old and it's just not gonna work with my back. So that being said, what hotels are close by? Or we don't go. I'm sorry, I'm not being difficult, but I'm not sleeping in a twin bed with my girlfriend.
An attitude.
The fact that he's like, give me a hotel name or I'm not coming. Not trying to be difficult. Whoa, Jax.
Well, you know what? What is the definition of difficult? That.
Exactly.
Like, you just became difficult.
And also using the back excuse. Do you need a big bed if you have back problems? I thought you just need, it's like all about the mattress.
I don't know if the size of a mattress makes your back hurt more.
Right.
So I can't speak, but I also don't have back problems.
Right.
It's all about hard versus soft.
Right.
But then I realized when they got there and Ariana and Tom moved their beds together, Jax was acting like he was going to share a twin bed with Brittany. But that's not what was happening at all.
No.
What? Yeah.
What a baby.
Maybe, is he aging out of Vanderpump? Is he going to like join the cast of Beverly Hills?
Well, as we see all this stuff with James, I'm like, wait, are they getting more mature? Or is it just in comparison to James, they look like...
Right, because we did have Stassi making a breakthrough of being very mature this episode.
Yeah.
All of them cannot deal with drunk James, which I find so funny. And I loved the moment when Tom and Jax being like, I mean, we were bad, but we weren't like that.
The reason I didn't want to come here is like, we have a good time, but we also know when to shut it down. Were we this bad when we were younger?
No, come on, no.
It's a lot.
And I wish they would have just used like a bunch of scenes from the past where they were that bad.
Right.
I was like, come on, let's relive those moments.
My personal favorite part of this episode is... Lala does the right thing. She kind of goes to Raquel at the beginning of the trip and is like, look, James crossed a line with me. You need to keep him in check. And Raquel was like super gracious about it. Like, totally, he shouldn't talk to you that way. And then Raquel tries to talk to James. And he goes, well, they say bad things about you.
She said hurtful things about you before.
Like what?
I don't know. Skinny, hot bitch.
Is that hurtful? I'll take it.
You don't know them at all.
I feel like you, Megan, would be like,
I'm like, that's a
thank
compliment.
You. Oh my God. I can't believe you would say that behind my back. I feel so loved. Yeah. And like, also, way to deflect and not hear the message of like, it doesn't matter if they talk about what about me or you or anyone. The problem is, you said something that very much hurt Lala, and you can't keep doing that.
You need to listen to what she's saying. You keep cutting her off. You're antagonizing her.
All right, I'll be the rogue. You're right. I'm sorry.
Though I don't like, and on any of the shows, I don't like when people are like, get your man in check. Get your woman
in check. Right.
Like, get yourself in check.
Right.
Like, talk to them directly.
Yeah. But she tried, and
I know.
And she can't
so I get
him.
Why maybe she talked to Raquel.
He also just exhibited, like, two different sides of the spectrum with Lala. He was either being really mean to her or flirting with her in a way that made me super uncomfortable. Okay. I couldn't imagine being Raquel.
What made me very upset was, okay, he's very flirty with her. And like sometimes I feel like as a girlfriend, if you go into a relationship where your boyfriend is very close with another girl, you kind of have to just be like, I don't know the relationship before. I'm going to have to like feel it out and see how it goes. But when... he was on the couch, like, laughing really close to Lala, and Raquel put her arm around him, and he goes, what? I'm just laughing with her. Like, his defensiveness, like, he should automatically be like, oh, I'm going too far, I'm sorry.
It's also,
like, that should have been his reaction.
Body language.
Yes!
If you're naturally turning, like, so close to Lala, and your back's to your girlfriend, that's weird.
And when he did that, his body language was like, I'm just laughing, what, like, mom, like, oh, you don't want to be anyone's mom.
No.
You don't want to be treated like that.
No.
You know what I find funny?
This girl, I can't deal with you. Stop, dude. Just... No, L-A-L-A-K-E-N-T. Do you even know what the f*** is belt, man? Don't knock it till you try it. Right, Robbie?
Okay.
I'm laughing with Lala.
It was this a similar threesome body language that we saw with Logan at Pride.
Like, good call, Grace.
I want Raquel to freak out on him.
Right. How many people does he have to like emotionally cheat on her with?
Do we know if they're still together in real time?
I think they are. I know. And she's so sweet. Remember we met her.
I know.
And then, of course, that escalates into Lala and James face off.
Hello, look at me. What the f*** is wrong with you?
We go from zero, and then we're at 100. Real f***ing quick.
Treat me with some f***ing respect if you want some goddamn respect.
I would love it. I've been trying to get respect from
you. Bye, Lala. Idiot.
Stop calling me an idiot. You're coming for me, honey.
Bye.
What makes me upset is the way you speak to people. Let's have a conversation like friends do. Are we friends or are we not?
Nah.
I think Lala is like so amazing this episode. Obviously, she's just been like our number one for like this season, I feel like. But she's just so vulnerable and being like, talk to me, feel what you're feeling, and like be real with me because like I'm not going to deal with this bullshit. And he just so is deflecting. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to deal with his real feelings. But then when they really got down to the heart of it and he was like, I've loved you. You don't get it, Lala.
I have a negative view on that man because he put the one I love in jeopardy. I've loved you. So you have to understand, Lala. I'm not used to it yet.
But what does he mean by that?
I think that what he's saying is it's always going to be different between us because we have this like deep connection. And like, I think that what he truly wants is like to be like, no matter, even if we have girlfriends and boyfriends or even get married, like it'll be nothing compared to what we have.
But that's not okay. Good.
Yeah. So what that's really saying is, I want to be with you. I'm with Raquel for now because I can't be with you. And I'm trying to fill this hole that I can't because I want to be with you. That's what I was reading into it. I'm not a psychologist.
I just love that James and Lala are our modern day, what's it called? Madison.
Ross and Rachel?
No. The one with
Madison. Scott. Ashley Madison.
Bridges of Madison County.
Oh my God. I never saw that movie. But I know that obviously. Yes. And like you could be a human without like knowing the story.
Right.
The one that got away.
Exactly.
But that's what she's saying. She's like, it's okay for me to have a boyfriend and you to have a girlfriend and us not to be together. Like you have to move on. But he just doesn't want to. I think that in his heart, he's just like, he's not the right guy for her. I'm just going to bide my time with Raquel. And it's not like I think that he doesn't love Raquel. I think it's all very complicated. But I think that he's just stuck on Lala. And then when she's always around and they are so close still, it's so easy to stay stuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think James and Raquel are good when it's just the two of them. They seem really sweet when we met them. They absolutely belong together. But then, like, it's one of those relationships where you bring in other people and then things
but
go off the rails.
But he's also like 23?
I think he's 25. He could be in the 25 and under club.
Whatever.
I feel like it was on a Real Housewives episode. But I can't remember what. But someone says, yeah, I always would say that if the two of us were on an island, it would be great. But life is not an island.
What is
that from?
I don't know. It's from something.
We'll look it up.
Oh, but so Big Bear continues next week, and I saw a full clip of the preview of Jax kind of drowning. I laughed so hard.
And I'm going to say that I think it's okay that we're laughing because we see in the next one they're all like, someone almost died, but it's like very clearly not.
Right. Like he's okay.
Yeah, he's okay.
Come and help me. Come and help.
That is hysterical.
Don't laugh. Someone almost died.
But yeah, I just hope Lala and James can be happy without each other. Beverly Hills.
Sweet, sweet Beverly Hills.
There's just so much. I feel like this whole episode could just be about this episode. This episode of The Daily Dish could be about this episode of Beverly Hills. So I want to start with this park conversation between Dorit and Lisa Vanderpump.
But wait. because we live in New York, can you imagine walking through Central Park and seeing them like on a bench talking?
I thought they were in Union Square.
Oh, you may be right.
Because of the way the benches were, but that's just my...
Either way,
no, totally. I was like, where was I this day? Why wasn't I in the park? Have you seen anyone in the wild?
Yeah, Teresa.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It was like the best.
I saw Mario and Ramona fighting on the street. I was always going to shout that out. It's one of the, I'm not going to say highlights of my life, but maybe someone else can. Anyway. So Dorit is like tiptoeing around saying, listen, I said some stuff that you're probably going to get mad about, but I just want to let you know that I said it. Mm-hmm. I wish she would have just said that because it took her 15 minutes to get, Lisa, maybe,
It was so abrupt and shocking. And you know what the thing is? Kyle and I were, I was so laser focused on Kyle because she started to get upset and she was upset because of me. So when you left, it was very shocking.
What do you want to say to me?
Lisa, I haven't gotten a chance.
Why don't you cut to the chase and say,
honey,
what you said?
Honey, you're saying it as if...
Because we moved on at the beat.
He's not that bad at it, but Aaron kind of takes a long, windy road to the point and like, hurry it up. Like, just tell me what it is.
And I feel like at one point I was like, okay, she's getting there. She's saying like, I did say some stuff and like, I just don't want you to be mad. But even then Lisa was like, well, what did you say? And she's like, nothing, Lisa. We're fine.
Trust me, I didn't say anything that you would never want to be friends with me again. Well, but at that moment,
tell me then. What did you say?
I don't think I said anything that...
Well, clearly you did. Otherwise, no, you wouldn't be telling me now.
And I just was like, you had the inclination to get ahead of this. And then you didn't go far enough, and then it turned into the rest of this episode.
Okay.
Like, what do you think?
Part of me feels like Dorit's version is not so different as Kyle's version. It's just the way they're messaging it. Like, it's Dorit should have just been like, look, I was pissed, and I said this. But what she's saying is, no, it's not bad. I just said this. Like, she is saying what she said.
Because she did say things like, you know, you have said to me that you need attention. And then I was like, we're getting into it. And Lisa being like, I don't need your attention, actually. Lisa was so amazing.
I know.
You told me.
I put attention. I'm not needy for attention.
No, that you weren't told I love you.
Oh, well,
and that
that's a different thing. That's talking about the British kind of being reserved.
Exactly.
But I don't need your attention.
Well, I sure hope you do.
I actually don't. So it doesn't matter whatever you say. That's still a negative thing to say about
it
a friend.
Is.
Actually, no, I actually don't at all. I don't know why you would say that. But I think that she is saying exactly what she said, but I think the key is later on, Lisa said to Erica, Lisa Vanderpump, would you be mad if you were me and what was said at the table had happened? And Erica's like, yeah, I would be upset. And Teddy also said so. So it doesn't, it's almost the tone and like
yes,
what was the
yes.
point she was trying to get across.
Right.
While this is happening, the park conversation, Kyle is finding out from Camille and Teddy what Dorit had said at the table the night before, which obviously Kyle's like, Lisa's not going to be happy about that. And then I think she has the day to like ruminate on it. And then by the time they're getting ready for Dorit's cover party, Kyle is just like, this is not okay. She was talking about us.
I get a feeling that Dorit was not honest about what she really said. Camille and Teddy were telling me. Dorit felt the need to say at that table last night to everybody things that you had shared with her. To be honest, that night at the Pally House, when you walked off, I was pissed off. Dorit was pissed off. But then she was saying things that you had said in confidence that I didn't think she should be saying.
And she's explaining to Lisa, and Lisa just, like, doesn't believe it at first. She's like, really, Dorit? Are we sure this happened, Kyle?
Right.
Are we sure this
right.
happened?
Are we sure we know that? Are we sure we know it's the truth?
Sorry, guys. Do you want to have your hair touched up, Lisa?
I've been more than kind to her. I love her.
That conversation is, like, a really mini version of everyone's reaction later. Like, Lisa doesn't want to believe it. She doesn't want to deal with it. She doesn't want to go in there. And Kyle's just really mad that it happened.
Totally.
And I think this stems from not just that conversation, but also the, why did she bring up Kyle's name first with the Erica stuff? It all goes back to that.
I'm telling what she said.
Okay.
It started with, you know, filling in Lisa Rinna about what's been going on and what happened at the beach house. And she sat there telling Erica last night that I'm the one who brought it up and trying to create a whole for me that wasn't, I've never spoke against Erica.
No.
It was nothing negative. And we were all on the same page. So why would she do that? That's not being a good friend to me.
So then they go to this launch party and Kyle is like a dog with a bone.
Yes.
She's just so angry. And so she brings it up. And it's not going well. Lisa's not mad at all. Like, Lisa's like, I don't want to discuss it. Like, I'm not mad. And then they think, we're going to move on. And then Camille and Kyle switch places. And I think that's when Kyle really, like, you can, before that happens, she's just sitting there. You can see how mad she is. And then they switch places. And then she's just like, Dorit, I trusted you. We had a whole conversation.
Can I switch to you? I'm talking to you because I care about you, and I'm pissed off. Something said about me and Lisa Vanderbilt that shouldn't have been said. I'm safe that you could tell me everything you want. I'll never ever you over, and I feel over.
But over the Erica thing?
I think over it all. I think over the Erica thing, over her having a conversation with her in the Pally house, and then repeating it again later.
Yeah.
I think all of that.
Yeah.
Like, why do you think Kyle is so upset?
I don't. Here's why I think she's upset. And this is why I do get it. Because I think all of this, to me, doesn't feel like a big deal. But I was thinking that, okay, if Grace came to me and said something about you, and I said, Rachel, you know, Grace says that you're the weak link of this podcast. And then you say, that's upsetting. Grace, do you want to go get lunch and leave me? And I would feel like, what the fuck? I just had your back, Rachel.
Mm.
And now you're going off with the person I'm trying to help you. Like, don't you think that might be it? Like
who's who in that situation?
That Grace is Dorit, I'm Kyle, and you're Vanderpump.
Oh.
Yeah, you'd be like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Because I think the problem is, too, is like what also would have happened is Grace then said something about you too.
Right.
So you're mad too.
Yes.
You know? And I get where Kyle's coming from. She's like, I can't continue to be chopped liver for our entire relationship.
I mean, it was one thing not to have my back inside. But now Lisa is offering a ride to Dorit, who's been gossiping about her. Lisa completely holds me to a different standard. Anytime I've ever said anything remotely unflattering, being in a friendship with you is like playing chess with Bobby Fischer. Every move is so calculated. She has punished me.
And it's about that. And I don't know why Lisa can't just be like, no, you're not. Okay, what do you need me to do? That's all Kyle needs,
yeah.
You know?
They both are so, they're both the same.
Yes.
They think the other is so hard to move on and not willing to just be malleable. And I think they're both the same way. Just a little stubborn.
I thought it was weird that Lisa didn't react. But then I kind of got a glimpse at the end of the night when they got back to the hotel and Lisa being like, do you think this is fun for me? The entire topic of conversation was how I'm needy and insecure and weak.
Nobody seems to take into account.
No, I never feel appreciated by
you. Maybe I don't like sitting there all night listening to talk about me. I was needy, insecure, this, that, and the other. You think it's been a great evening for me? How do you think I feel?
So I think she was maybe just trying to sweep it under the rug the whole night and being like, Kyle, I don't want to talk about it.
Don't make this a thing that lasts all episode.
Right, or all season, because I don't want to have to later on clarify that I'm not insecure. In the way, it's very similar to Pantygate.
Yes.
Like, stop talking about it because, like, it is what it is, but, like, now I have to constantly talk about my vagina for 7 episodes.
Which Erica addresses with Teddy. She's like, hey, I can see your vagina. See, that's how you do it.
Teddy, as your friend, I can see your puss.
She's putting it out there.
I'm just going to tell you. I mean, it's great.
Here's how you handle seeing up someone's skirt. You very politely look at them and say, I can see up your skirt. You do the other girl a solid.
And I did notice that Teddy did flash a couple of times. She was wearing underwear, FYI. But I was like, my God, her inner thighs are amazing.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Like, of course, it would be hard for her to keep her legs together because they're so, like, defined and muscular.
Absolutely. Erica, shout out for being the voice of reason this whole episode. I loved when she was like, Dorit, you're gonna just do it. It's the right thing to do. Just don't talk to anyone. Just get in this car.
No. Swallow your f***ing pride right now and just do this. I promise you it's the right thing to do.
I'm not gonna f***ing...
You're making me do this.
Because it's the right thing to do. You're gonna swallow your pride and you're gonna do this.
I'm gonna have the conversations right now.
You don't have to have a f***ing conversation. All you have to do is get in the f***ing car.
And I was like, yes, Erica.
What's our transition?
Hey, guys, we're being lazy, so just here's Eric.
Hi, guys. This is the most Erica Jane moment of the week.
Gonna give the gays everything they want.
Yes, I love that intro. So this was right when Erica, I think, was talking to the girls about how she had gone to her meeting with Simon & Schuster, and she was sort of like pretty much recapping her brand, which is obviously the most Erica Jane moment of the week.
So I'm not gonna win a f***ing whatever that's called, Pulitzer Prize.
You don't know that.
I do. This is Erica Jane. This is glitz, glamour, fun, fantasy, love, escape. I'm not f***ing Ernest Hemingway. Oh.
Also, each one of those things I feel like is a Britney Spears perfume. Like, I feel like...
Ooh, we'd say them again.
I mean, glitz. Yeah. I feel like fantasy definitely is one
already.
Escape?
Could be.
This could also be some crossover with Paris Hilton's perfumes. Because yes. I feel like she has like 30 or something crazy.
Eric, have you seen Paris Hilton's new music video?
I mean, Megan, you sent it to me. It's pretty fantastic. She looks great. And she just turned, 37 just the other day, I think.
Yes.
She looks really great.
Paris Hilton is 37?
How old do you think we are, Grace? How old do you think you are?
I'm just a young girl of 17.
I am 16 going
on. I knew that was coming. Well, thanks, guys.
Thank you, Eric.
I'll see you next Tuesday.
And I will see you next Tuesday.
I didn't understand why Lisa was that upset or didn't want to make it a big thing with Dorit, because I do think you saw, because she was crying. She was like, you think I like being called insecure and all of that stuff?
Well, I think we get a glimpse of
yes!
next episode. Because
that's where I was getting to, man.
Oh, great.
I love you, mainly on the strength of loving your husband.
That hurts. I thought we have a far better relationship than that.
But we talked to someone who was there that night, who was very pivotal, I will say, holding that elevator door open, trying to coax Lisa out of it.
Totally.
Teddy Mellencamp, Oriave, new housewife. We talked to her all about joining the cast, if she knew what she was getting into, had she watched the seasons.
And who she would pick if the choice was between Erica and Dorit.
Right.
Guys, we are here with Teddy Mellencamp. You asked, and we're delivering. Hello, yes. Teddy.
Hi, guys.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yes, of course. I was so excited that you were coming into the office. You're like my favorite new housewife.
Are you just saying that because I'm the one sitting here?
No, we talk about it all the time. It's so true. No, I'm not. I promise. Though I probably would just say that too.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, I promise, but also the next person that comes in is getting it as well.
No, I've loved your addition to the Beverly Hills Ladies.
It's kind of crazy seeing it up there like that. I was like, oh, I look angry.
So we wanted to kick things off with this new segment we're going to do, which is called the First Wives Club, because this is your first season. So can you state your full name for the record?
My full name for the record is Teddy Mellencamp Oroyave.
Is Teddy short for anything?
It's not. That's it.
Okay. We were like Theodosia, Theodora. No.
I'm not quite so fancy. My name was Teddy Joe. Joe was my middle name. And then when I got married, Mellencamp became my middle name and Ariave became the last. Weirdly, I didn't want to keep the Joe.
I love it, though. It. Teddy Joe.
Teddy Joe. I mean, people still call me TJ.
That's cute. I love that.
But I'm good with just Teddy.
So fans really wanted to know, had you watched Beverly Hills before you started this season?
I hadn't, but now I have. Now I've caught up on a lot of past, but not everything.
Oh, so you went back.
I went back. I didn't go all the way back.
Right.
But I did go back one season.
At what point were you like, maybe I should give this a watch?
When I finished filming.
Okay.
Yeah. Then I was like, okay. Because truthfully, I didn't want to watch because I didn't want to go in with like, I'm already in my head a little bit in life. So I didn't want to go in thinking too much.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'm going to wait. But right. I did start. I watched Dallas and then I watched Orange County and I was like, okay, so I'm in for more than I was planning. I was like, now I'm hooked. And now I'm watching Vanderpump Rules. Like I have all the things now.
It's so good. Have you like learned anything or was anything surprising watching back?
I make a lot of faces. I had no idea how expressive I was. Like, why am I paying all this Botox of money on Botox if my face can move so much? Like, what? Who makes this many faces? It's I can't with those.
Edwin's in the room too. I feel like you've seen all the faces before.
He did warn me. He's like, your cry face, I hope it never comes out. I was like, oh, it did. No.
So you didn't know what you were getting into, but you've watched past seasons. Do you feel primed for the reunion now?
I mean, I feel like maybe I should go into the reunion with just a stool. I'll just sit on the side.
Oh, why?
No, now, then it's just a safe place, my own little safe stool area. No, no, I do not feel primed and ready for the reunion. But hopefully it'll be fun. Hopefully through the drama, we'll work through it all and we'll be in a good place.
We've both been to reunions and they're highly entertaining for everyone in the audience.
You're like, as long as I'm not on the couch, things are good.
No. I just don't know how you guys do it all day. Like, that's the part that's always shocking, is it's like, my God, it's so long.
I think that many hours, you're just going to be frustrated and trying to get your point across, and you're just emotional in general. That's just being a human being.
Like, I'll apologize for whatever you need me to apologize for.
What do you need me to do? Right? What do you want from me?
What's been the craziest part about being a Real Housewife?
You know, I think there's a lot of highs and a lot of lows. And I think that's what you get from having a bunch of strong women together with opinions and speaking their mind and having different ways of communication. I mean, that's, for me, that's been the biggest thing. A lot of the times, you know, in friendships, one person will hold back a little bit. But in this setting, you are giving it your all because you really want your point to come across.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's surprising how easily that can create drama.
How has the fan reaction been? Because I feel like our best housewives are the ones that are like polarizing. So they'll get like all this love and then all this other stuff. So what has that been like?
People have been really amazing towards me, which has been nice. I mean, I've gotten some negative as well, which I try not to read into it too much.
Right.
For me, I'm kind of taking it with a grain of salt. I'm appreciative for it, but I know it could turn just like that. And that's why on all of my social media, everything I say, like, listen, you can dog on me all you want, but don't dog on the other girls on my stuff. Because I don't really, throwing shade, if we're going to throw, like, within our friend group, if we want to throw a little shade here and there, that's fine. But I don't need to be promoting somebody else talking crap about somebody. It's not in me. So that's been the only hard part, when negative things have happened to the other women and people are writing in to me. And I'm like, you think I'm going to respond to this? No way. Like, that's mean. And that's not who I am.
What has it been like? Because I'm sure that you watched how fame sort of came into your family via your father. But now it's you. It's you that I'm sure is being recognized.
So when I was younger, you know, it sounds naive, but because it was in Indiana and South Carolina, it was never really a big deal about my dad. And people don't believe that. I'm like, you know, occasionally people would come up to him and say, I'm such a huge fan, but they're fans in a different way. Like, I think you're an amazing songwriter. I love your voice, or this song touched me because of this. But there wasn't really like, they felt like they know you.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, the difference. You know, like, obviously, people are writing to me like they're my actual, like, they know exactly my feelings, exactly my thoughts on everything. And I get it, because when I'm watching, I think I know how everybody else is feeling as well. So that's the difference, I think. And also, I mean, my dad's really talented. I'm just like kind of having some drama on a TV show.
Which are super pretty.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. My real talent is my awkward faces.
You mentioned your awkward faces, but watching back, has watching the show colored any situation differently now, seeing the talking heads and how people are reacting?
No, I think if anything, I just am keeping an open mind that my feelings are going to get hurt from time to time. And that's okay. And there's going to be times where I say things that I know may hurt somebody else's feelings. And that's the nature of what we're doing. And as long as you just, I don't even know how to say it. I really don't. I think as long as I'm trying to be as authentic to who I am as possible, then I have to be okay with it. The good and the bad towards me and, you know, against me. because it's just the truth.
You know, I think that people do think they know you because they're like, well, we see her at home. We see her with friends. We know her. What do you think people aren't seeing about you on the show?
I think on the show, I'm a little bit more in my head than I am in my day-to-day life. Yeah, I'm a very structured person. I'm never late. I'm like organized. I have a to-do list. Like I am definitely, I am like type A as they come. So that's authentic to me. But I'm a little bit freer. Whereas on the show, I feel like I'm sometimes, especially because I don't know a lot of these women very well at the beginning. So I'm a little bit more reserved. Where in real life, like I'm constantly laughing with my friends. And I, as the time goes, you see that in me more with the women that I'm more comfortable with.
Yeah.
But that's hard for me to see sometimes. I'm like, gosh, why do I look so serious? Like, why am I? And because in that moment, I was nervous or serious or feeling whatever emotion. So they're real emotions.
Do you feel like there was any hazing this season toward you as a new wife?
I don't think it's necessarily because I'm new. I think that anything I did feel, you know, is the way somebody may have actually felt about me. I don't think it had to do with me being new or whatever. I think it's my personality or something in me that somebody was not digging.
We were stalking you on Instagram, and we saw that you know Cameron Westcott from Dallas.
I do. Well, I met her. Lisa Vanderpump had an event, had a charity event, and I met her and Deandra there. And then just randomly, the next week, I was going to Dallas. My husband owns a home automation company called Skyline Security, and it had a big event in Dallas. So I was there, and I put it on my Insta story, and Cameron reached out and said, "You want to get lunch?"
Oh my God, I love it.
She showed me Highland Park, and I showed up in like Pumas and jeans and like ratty hair, and she like was done to the nines, and I was like, hey.
Was she wearing pink?
Yes. Like, I think she had a pink Birkin.
Oh my God.
But she was so fun and so nice, and she was great.
Are there any other housewives you've met through this experience?
I met Deandra that same day. Yeah. I met Bethany when we were filming in New York.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
What was that like?
You know, I met her with Kyle, and she was funny and snarky. I mean, all the things that you would think. She was fun.
Yeah. People always ask, they're like, what's Bethany like? I'm like, she's exactly what you see on the show. Like, no difference. Yeah. On your Instagram stories, I love watching the dance parties with your kids. Ugh. What are their favorite songs to dance to?
I mean, we have different things we go through. I mean, not all are age appropriate. Right. Big Booty. That was the one that we went through for a while. It was in the rotation. Now my daughter is doing the play for Bring It On. So, I mean, she's really into all the Big Red parts. Like, I'm still Big Red. Like, all of the it really changes. My son, he's into any Latin music. He likes to move his hips. So him and Edwin are good at that. Slate and I are not so good. We're like doing the MC Hammer awkwardly. Like,
we are fascinated. We talked a little bit about your job. Being an accountability coach, do you feel like you need to hold people in your life like accountable more than?
No, I don't think. I think because I'm an accountable person in general, that's what makes me good at my job. And it's what makes me aware of the struggles that people are going through. But when it comes to my friends, no, that's not my job. But I do think I hold myself accountable. Anything that I say or do, I don't ever mind if it's shared. Mm-hmm. I won't ever, because it's something that I will say to somebody's face. And if I wouldn't, then I deserve it to be told, because you can't just say things and expect them not to go anywhere.
Right. I was just thinking, you like keeping everybody accountable on the couches.
You sit here. No, I mean you'd have to be paying me to hold you accountable.
Well, today, even for this interview, you were early, which never happens with other people. Some other people on this team.
I'm never late.
Some other people have problems with punctuality.
What? Oh, you need a talking to?
I mean, I do. My boyfriend's like constantly mad at me.
Well, I had to start fibbing to him, my husband, about the time, about things. I'll be like, oh. He'll be like, what time's the flight leave? And I'm like, 8:10. He's like, that's a weird time for a flight to leave. I'm like, I know, but it's 8:10. It's 8:11, actually. Because if not, like, he will honestly lollygag. He's not even doing anything. Like, it's like the socks are going on at like the slowest speed ever. I'm like, buddy, we gotta do that. I'm the first in line. You know, like, I am punctual. But because ever since I was little, riding horses, like, you miss your time slot, you're not getting in the ring. You don't show.
Right.
So for me, it's like, it's in me. It's embedded in my soul. Right. I wish sometimes I could be late, but I just can't.
No, it's much better to be punctual, let me tell you. People are less mad at you all the time, I'm sure.
But people that are late always get annoyed at the people that are on time. Like, you're always on time. You know, my best friend, actually, like, she's always late. And finally, I'm like, just tell me what time I should be. I know we're supposed to meet at 8 a.m. What time should I actually meet you? And she's like, how about 8:40? I'm like, okay, great.
See, I'm never that late. I have friends who will be like an hour late to something. And I'm like,
That's not late. That's just like a no-show, like, to me.
Right. Like, I'll be like 10. 10's like my what I do all the time.
I think LA, 15 to 20 minutes is normal because, truthfully, traffic is bad. But more than that, it's a little sketch.
Yeah.
Do you and your husband work out together?
Well, during the school days, no, because we have to rotate our schedules for the kids. But on the weekends, yes. We always we do date days instead of date night.
Oh, that's cute.
So, like, we'll on a Saturday, we'll pick, like, a four-hour chunk and get a babysitter, and we'll go and do, like, our favorite hike or this class Rise Nation, and then we'll, like, go to a boozy brunch or something. Like, that's our day to, like, kind of enjoy each other. And then spend the afternoon as a family with the kids and doing the stuff we love. But that way, it's not 8 o'clock at night and we're looking at each other exhausted after we put the kids to bed going, all right, let's now go have fun together. And forced fun is the worst fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are your favorite workouts to do in LA, but also what are the ones that you're just like, this is a load of crap?
Yeah. I wouldn't say anywhere a load of crap because movement is movement. I don't particularly love Pilates. I get bored. For me, I like loud music and to feel good afterwards. So that's why I love, there's a class Rise Nation that I love. I love SoulCycle. I love going to Runyon Canyon. Any hiking, stuff like that. I mean, I'm a big runner. So for me, running, I wasn't originally. I couldn't run a mile when I first started my shift in my life. But now I love it. It's like where I find peace. But yeah, I love trying everything.
Grace, our producer, had a question that she put on here.
Grace.
You've said on your Instagram stories that you have like 8 hairs. Like, you're joking that you
don't
have.
Do you want to see which ones are mine?
She's so curious about the hair system.
No.
This is my hair right here. And then, and then there's tape. She sees the tape and extensions now. Uh-huh.
But they're good.
They're really good. Yeah, Laura Righetti does amazing extensions. Yeah, thank you so much. No, but I'm really open about it because I had good hair until I had kids. And right. Then I had no hair. I had, like, baby hairs coming around. And Edwin is, like, turning his head right now because he's in denial that I have extensions. I'll be like, I have extensions. And he's like, no, you don't.
That's such,
like,
a guy thing.
I'm like, yes, I actually do. I also have fake boobs. Like, we're going to have to acknowledge both things. Okay?
This is makeup.
He's like, no, those are natural. No, they're actually not. You paid for them. You know, like... But yeah, no, I want people to know, like, yes, if I don't have my extensions and I have barely any hair, I have a little baby ponytail that pokes out.
Yeah, she's still trying to solve the mystery of, like, which hair is Dorit's hair because it changes so much.
That I 100% do not know.
Really?
Really? I thought you would know. We were hoping.
I don't know. I don't know. I do know that her hair looks good.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I don't know which hair, I don't know anything about those hairs.
Have you ever seen anyone in the same outfit twice?
Have I ever? No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I do know that is one thing that I did have to shift because I used to, I mean, I do wear the same thing over and over again. Yeah. If I like it, I'm like, great, this is my go-to outfit. And I'm like, oh no, I can't wear my go-to outfit.
Right.
I have to actually change outfits.
Right.
So I had to do my least favorite thing in the world. Shop.
Because there is a lot of dressing up in this group.
Yes, everything's a lot, you know, even lunch. I mean, even when you see, if you saw the episode where I'm shopping with Kyle a couple weeks ago, like at the yoga place, I'm in workout clothes and Kyle like looks like a 10 plus. And I was like, one of us doesn't look like the other. And that one's me.
That's so funny.
Was there any like pressure going into being a housewife? Like what that meant?
To be honest, no, because I can't be somebody that I'm not. And to me, it's not about money. It's about who you are. And it doesn't matter how much you have if you need to talk about it. It's not something I need to hear about you. I don't really care. For me, it's about the interest other than the aesthetics. Like, what else do you like doing? Talk about your kids, your job, your life. Those are the things that draw me to women, not how much money you have in your bank account or how much money you can spend on a purse.
Now that you've finished filming, who do you feel like you've bonded with the most?
I mean, I talk to Kyle every day.
Oh,
like,
wow.
We text. Like, we have so much fun together. We're laughing all the time. We talk on the phone. We text. We hike. You know, she makes it super effortless. But, I mean, I talk to Lisa Vanderpump. And, actually, Lisa Rinna and I write back and forth on each other's Insta stories. Because I crack up. She did this whole thing on Kim Kardashian wanting the perfume where you like, and I texted her back. I was like, I wanted it too, just so I could pop that little thing, whatever it is. That chocolate box with perfume that I probably would never wear. But
still,
I still wanted the box.
The opportunity to crack it open, how satisfying. Yeah.
And then she got it yesterday, and I wrote her back. I'm so jealous.
Well, there have been some feuds this season. So we wanted to end with a Sophie Stanberry's choice. So it's like a Sophie's choice, but Sophie Stanberry is one of our ladies of London.
Okay.
It's Sophie Stanberry here. Get the tunes on because I'm ready to dance, bitch.
You have to be stuck on a yacht with one person. Is that person Dorit or Erica?
I have to answer?
You have to answer.
Dorit.
Want to elaborate at all?
I think Dorit, because here's the thing. Even though Dorit and I have issues communicating sometimes, she's still a fun, nice girl. She's not malicious. It's just sometimes she talks too much and it gets her in trouble. That's really it. Like, even when she called me a psycho, you see in my face, my feelings aren't even hurt.
I know.
I'm not even taking it seriously. Like, everyone's like, you know, sending me these messages like, aren't you furious? I'm like, no, I know she doesn't think I'm psycho. Like, over a glass, like, it would be impossible for her to think that. I think she's just, she'll say things, like, in a way that is provocative, but I'm not taking it personally.
Right.
And I think she's a good person.
Yeah. And it's fun to be provocative sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, she is fun. You know, there are, like, and we have had a lot of fun times together.
Yeah. That makes me happy.
Bye, Erica.
Yes.
Bye, Erica. No comment.
Thank you so much for doing this.
You.
This was great.
Thanks.
Yes. Okay, it's time for Rose and Thorn. Rachel, start.
My rose this week was Lisa Rinna getting so drunk. Because she, like, never drinks. Right. And then she, like, was like,
what's happening? What's the issue? What's the issue?
Right, and, like, she was telling Erica to, like, fix her lipstick. She's like, do it up, girl. Or, like, fix your face, girl. Or something like that. It was just so funny.
I love you.
I'm worried about my look. God
honey,
damn it.
Touch it up.
But it was also a little bit my thorn because the ladies were harshing her mellow. We didn't get to see fun, drunk Rinna.
I know. Like, do you realize the opportunity we missed? Kyle and Dorit.
She could have been on that table dancing.
Ugh, the best Lisa Rinna. And she was, like, ready to have fun.
I know.
Ugh. In my head, I was like, I hope her and Camille go back and dance.
Yes.
What was your thorn?
My thorn was Sheena and Big Bear just constantly talking about how Rob's amazing. Rob hung a TV in under 7 minutes. I timed him. It was just like, do you not hear it? Like, there's a certain point where you have to be able to. I'm talking too much about my significant other.
Guess what? He fixed the boat.
Yay!
I knew he would fix it. It was so sexy this morning. He, like, hooked the hitch up to my car in, like, 2 seconds. He hung a TV on the wall in under 7 minutes. I timed him.
And Jax accurately predicted that it might come back to bite her in the face.
Sheena wants to believe that Rob is perfect. She wants everyone to see that she's living this fairy tale life. She did the same thing with Shay, and look what happened. It bit her in the face. Really? Right? Is it bite her in the face or bite her in the... What is this? Yeah, it did. It bit her in the face. Right? I just make up my own.
Oh, Jax. He is a housewife. He can't get a saying right.
Right.
My thorn was on Summer House this week. We didn't talk about it. But it was a really good episode. And at the end, Steven drops this like crazy bomb about Carl. And I just was like, like, is this the moment to do it?
Talk to me about this. What's going on?
You said to me, sitting on a couch right next to me, that the best head you ever got was from a guy.
And like, not obviously be who you are. That's not why it's my thorn. It's just like, they were really good friends, and I can only imagine how Carl feels.
Yeah, it's not a secret you reveal. Yeah.
Story. Yeah.
My rose was Lisa Vanderpump asking Ariana and Sandoval what we all really want to know, which is, were you guys hooking up?
Really?
Yeah.
You could tell me now. Enough time has passed. I was like, yes, Lisa, do the dirty work.
Oh, Lordy, I feel like I've stepped back in time.
Right?
You guys used to actually work a lot of the same shifts, didn't you? Okay, so now you can tell me the truth. Was there anything going on at the time?
No.
Should we do some fan shout-outs?
Yes, please.
Fan shout-outs.
We got some great iTunes reviews, which are our favorite kind of reviews.
Right.
Such a fun podcast, says Helton Mommy. I love these girls. I don't have a lot of local friends that watch Bravo, so the banter and analyzing of my favorite shows makes me feel like I'm with my sisters, chatting up my stories. Don't change a thing.
Smiley face.
Smiley face.
Aw. Well, thank you, Helton Mommy. We're always here to chat all things Bravo.
I like that it's not about the pasta, but it is about the Daily Dish.
Oh, is that our tagline?
I don't know. It's pretty good.
That's by Trendy Tees. It's not about the pasta. It's about the Daily Dish. This show is seriously the best, and I'm reviewing because I'm terrified this podcast will go away because it's the only way I can physically get through work. Thanks for making obsessing over Bravo TV a normality. XOXO. We are not going anywhere.
Yes, we're here for you.
They will have to pry this podcast from our dead cold hands.
Right. So let's hope that doesn't happen.
Because let's be honest, it could happen.
Okay. James is Jax, by Fourfish16. I love you guys. Each week I start my day listening to you all, and then I drive to my job chatting it up with you guys about this week's Bravo Celebrities. Smiley face. Regarding the subject of Jax and James, I think Jax laughed when he heard about James because I think 4 years ago, Jax was accused of having a relationship with a dude, Anthony or something. So I think Jax was relating to James in this situation. James is just a younger Jax with an accent. LOL. Love you both and Grace.
That's why Grace said, read the last one.
Right, right. She's like, oh, it has a great theory. But wait, my name's in it.
Also, Grace, did you see we got a comment on my Instagram again saying you sound like Kristen Doty?
I know. I'm working with our press team to try and get.
I thought you were going to say I'm working with a voice coach to change that.
it's such a compliment. No, but I'm working to hopefully get a Skype interview with Kristen soon, in part just so that we can compare our voices, but also so that we can ask her about that tweet that you guys are obsessed with from October.
Ugh, that's all we want. Now I'm just listening to you and trying to hear Kristen, but I don't hear it.
Here's what I think it is. It's like they sound like they're speaking from this part of their mouth, and there's kind of spit.
Okay, go.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
I will say, so I was in LA a couple weeks ago, and there is a video of me reenacting Kristen telling the sir manager to suck a dick filmed in the sir parking lot.
Suck a dick.
Suck a dick.
Suck a dick.
But we all always get such amazing fan shout outs from everyone. I got a few on Instagram this week that I just loved. So thank you all. I'll be reading some of those next time.
Yeah, reach out to us. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Meg Segura.
I'm on Instagram at Suspiciously Small and on Twitter at Rachie Robb.
And I'm everywhere at gross_raisin.
Everywhere. Anyway, next week, we're going to be talking to Kathleen French, the executive in charge of current production here at Bravo. She's worked on so many things. The Real Housewives of Orange County, Southern Charm, Shaws of Sunset.
And now she kind of works on all of it, basically. Really? If you want a taste of what you'll get from Kathleen, you should go back and listen to our interview with Ryan Flynn, another Bravo exec. We put the link below, so you don't even have to search.
Mm-hmm. And again, you can always tweet us at Bravo TV using the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish. Bye! With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.